This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on the show today, we have Zachary Carotene, who is director of the Illinois Baroque Music Institute, which is going on starting tomorrow on the Imaginative Concertos of Antonio Vivaldi. We'll hear about that and hear some of his own performance on the show. And then in the second portion of the program today, Janet Largent will be with us. She is to director of the Champaign County Fair Talent Show coming up next week. And also, we will have the winner of last year's show, Brittany Johnson, who will play a little something for us on the program today. It's Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Stay with us. Was the end of Concerto Grosso of George Frideric Handel. We heard his Opus 3, Number 3. I'm very fond of that set of concertos. Actually, the Opus 6 set, wonderful as well. This was a performance by the Brandenburg Consort led by Roy Goodman from the First Violin Desk. And that's a reasonable introduction to our first guest on Live and Local today, because he does a lot of leading from the First Violin Desk and also leading with a baton in his hand. His name is Zachary Carotene, and I got to know him last year, I guess, through the Prairie Ensemble, which some of you may know that I conduct. He actually was our concertmaster for a couple of concerts, and he's in the master's conducting program here at the University of Illinois, working with Donald Schleicher, and is doing a lot of other stuff, including this weekend, the Illinois Baroque Music Institute, and that's the reason he's here today. That institute focusing on, quote, the Imaginative Concertos of Antonio Vivaldi, and it will culminate for the public's purposes in a concert Sunday evening at 7:30 at St. Peter's United Church of Christ in Champaign. Zachary, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about this Baroque Music Institute. It's the first time it's happened here, I believe, but not the first time that you've done such a thing.
Indeed. I've lived in various places in the past 10 years, including Oregon and California and Texas, and I have put together similar endeavors before, with the goal of working as a collaborator and an educator with young people, high school and undergraduate level primarily, addressing certain concepts of Baroque period performance style, techniques and concepts that make it distinct from classic period and romantic period repertory.
And where else have you done something similar?
In Houston and in Portland and in San Francisco. And usually I put this sort of thing together on my own, as I've done this time.
And where do you come by your own knowledge of Baroque performance practice, which is going to be a big part of this, I'm sure?
Well, when I was in high school in Houston, I attended the High School for Performing and Visual Arts. I was a private violin student of Kenneth Goldsmith, who's a professor at Rice University. And I subsequently went on to work on bachelor and master of music degrees with him. And Mr. Goldsmith thinks that it's important for all young violinists to learn the distinct styles. That is to say, while working on etudes and romantic concertos, Tchaikovsky, Sibelius, and so forth, we are also challenged to look at original manuscripts of the 18th century and to practice the art of ornamentation and embellishment, and to read 18th and 19th century treatises on performance with the idea of gaining a greater understanding of what happened in the last 300 years of music, stylistically speaking.
And why does that matter now?
Well, I think there's a growing demand in professional music making to understand this. First of all, there's been so much research, particularly in the last 30 years, in archives across Europe, research into the treatises of the periods, and so many more compositions are being rediscovered, and there's just a lot more knowledge than we had previously. And I think even at symphony auditions, there's a growing demand for a Mozartian style when playing Mozart, as opposed to a Tchaikovsky style. And I'm not sure that was the case in 1950, for example. So I think young string players, particularly going out into the world as professionals, need to really understand the distinction of these styles and how to use the bow and how to treat the vibrato and the phrasing.
So what are some of the differences, say, between, let's take Vivaldi, since that's the focus of your weekend workshop, and Beethoven? If somebody's, you know, needs to do them authentically, what would they do differently?
Well, in the concertos of Vivaldi that we will be performing Sunday, the orchestra was typically between 10 and 15 persons. Whereas in Beethoven's Third Symphony at the premiere, I think there were as many as 55 players, and in today's practices, as many as 75 or 80. So first of all, there's a huge textural difference. But also, the bow was different, a different design in Vivaldi's period than, say, in 1800, 1810, 1820 with Beethoven. And the entire school of violin playing changed so much by that point. But the Baroque bow is a convex design and one that allows for a natural buoyancy in the sound, a lightness of stroke. It makes faster tempos quite easy and seem very natural. When playing the same pieces with a heavier, longer, modern bow, we tend to play a little slower and a little more connected and sometimes even a little stodgy, if I can say that. So sometimes I have modern players tighten the bow a little bit to separate the hair, the horsehair, from the stick, and hold the bow a little higher to make it feel a little lighter, and then they can start to understand the feeling of a Baroque bow. And also, I will be passing around Baroque bows in the next 3 days for the students to try in rehearsal.
But you probably won't have enough for everybody to use them at the concert on Sunday.
I will not, and I'm not sure it's necessary. In a way, it would be nice, but the goal for me for the next 3 days is not so much to understand the period instruments as to really have a personal relationship with the music. We will have discussions, and we will look at some treatises, and we will be playing from first editions, from 1711 and 1725. But ultimately, all of these instrumentalists are playing modern violins with metal strings, with modern bows, in the 20th century setup. And I think we want to make the music come to life with the equipment they have.
Did you mention the differences in strings a bit earlier?
I did not, right. In the Baroque period, the musicians were using a combination of pure gut strings made from sheep intestine and stomach lining, and also wound gut, that is to say threaded with silver or other materials. Sometimes in the 19th century, there was production of silk strings, for example. By the time we get to 1913 to 1929, we're moving more and more in the direction of all metal strings, certainly metal wound gut, no more pure gut. However, Jascha Heifetz in 1950 was still using one pure gut string and sometimes two. But by today, certainly by 1970, 1980 and onward, there becomes a separation, and those using the metal strings are typically the modern players, the romantic players, and those using the gut strings are playing period instruments of the Baroque and classic period. There are some exceptions, but certainly the demands for the metal strings are such that it's desirable to use metal strings in a lot of today's venues. Consider a concert hall that seats 3,000 people with carpeted floors. The metal strings project better. They stay in tune better. They're not temperamental. The humidity doesn't make them squeak. So I think it's good to play on the gut strings a little bit to understand the character of sound. But there's no doubt that the metal string helped in many ways the quality of string playing.
Let's have an example of some of your application of the techniques you're talking about in a group that you are involved with. It's a trio called Eris, Eris Music. Tell us about that group and about your approach to the performance that we have a sample of.
Well, I got to know the other two musicians in the years I lived in California. Avi Stein is a harpsichordist now teaching at Yale, and William Skeen is a Baroque cellist teaching at University of Southern California in Los Angeles. And we played with one another in a number of other groups and finally got around to forming our trio. We've done a few recitals in the last couple of years. On this recording, I believe we'll be listening to Albinoni. He was a violinist and composer, working in Venice the same time as Vivaldi, a different compositional voice, but with some similarities. And in the recording, you'll hear quite a bit of improvisation, ornamentation, and you will hear a Baroque bow and a combination of metal and gut strings.
On all of the instruments, excepting the harpsichord, I presume.
Which is all metal, in fact. Yes.
Okay, it's Eris Music, which features Zachary Carratine as the violinist. In a performance here of some music of Albinoni, we're talking with Zach on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
concerto of Tommaso Albinoni, performed here by the ensemble called Eris Music. Do you call yourself Eris or Eris Music or interchangeable?
Oh, we're just Eris, A-E-R-I-S, but Eris Music is the website.
The website. Zachary Caratine is the violinist for that group and is my guest here on Live and Local during this portion of the program. And he is at the University of Illinois to pursue a master's degree in orchestral conducting with Donald Schleicher. And this weekend is directing the Illinois Baroque Music Institute on the concertos of Vivaldi, one of which we'll hear at least part of coming up in a little bit. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, WILL's broadcasting from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, thanks to the generosity of Alice and Robert Campbell. And we are coming to you in part with support from Radio Maria in downtown Champaign, launching their new dinner menu at the end of the month. Tapas is served every evening until 2 o'clock a.m., along with lunch on Friday from 10:30 to 2:30, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Information on menus and wine and beer lists is at radiomariarestaurant.com. Zachary, I'm interested a little bit in having our audience know a little bit more about, or maybe a lot more, about some of your personal activities, which have been pretty varied, including, I'd actually forgotten this, that you were concertmaster of a group in Houston called Orchestra X, which I admired very much, their programming. I had met their conductor once upon a time, and also playing a lot in Europe. You were with a pretty well-known orchestra over there, so give us some of the highlights.
Sure. During my final year of the master's degree at Rice University, I became concertmaster of Orchestra X, which was kind of a progressive chamber orchestra, doing a lot of contemporary music and I guess what people are calling crossover music now. So, for example, we did some orchestrations of Led Zeppelin songs, including Stairway to Heaven and Kashmir. We did Mozart symphonies, Holst the Planets. We also did the U.S. premiere of a work called After the Rain by Barry Guy, fabulous composer. And the orchestra did many sort of off-the-wall projects, including a staged production of La Bohème, where the singers were part of the audience with clip-on microphones, surprising audience members when they stood up to start singing, or in some cases stayed seated. The orchestra played in the planetarium and outdoors and did Astor Piazzolla tangos and all kinds of things. After I finished the master's degree, I went on to work as a full-time substitute first violinist with a one-year contract with the Bergen Philharmonic in Norway. And that was my first time to work under such a variety of conductors, a different one every week, sometimes two in one week. And it was very valuable professional experience. I can remember not having a clue what the conductors were doing a third of the time, so it took a while for me to figure out how to read the different body language of these musicians. After that, I became the composer in residence with an aerial vertical dance company based in Oakland, California, called Project Bandaloop. They dance in theaters, but also on the side of buildings and cliffs suspended from climbing ropes. And I worked with them as a composer and violinist and electric violinist. And it was during those years that I began to collaborate with Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, the American Bach Soloists, Portland Baroque Orchestra, Musica Angelica in Los Angeles, and other groups specializing in Baroque music.
And you had told me once that you had an injury to, I forget which hand, or a bit of an overuse injury. Is playing Baroque a little bit of an answer, response to that?
Yes and no. It's quite different. In general, the gut strings require a released approach. Alexander technique or Feldenkrais is very helpful. Too much sustained pressure does not help the tone of the gut strings. So one could say, yes, a more relaxed physiology really helps in Baroque playing. And certainly if you look at the Renaissance paintings of Italy and the celestial angelic orchestras, when they're playing these violin-type instruments of all sorts, they look so effortless. They all have this heavenly bliss in their eyes. And I think they're that can be used as inspiration for Baroque violin technique, to really enjoy the sound and to not force the sound. Having said that, I think my injuries came from doing too much. I had a 2.5-pound electric violin, which is about 5 times heavier than my Baroque violin, and I was also playing modern violin with metal strings, doing chamber music, solo work, orchestral work, and eventually I started to develop problems with my left shoulder and my wrist, and when it got bad enough, I decided to go spend a year studying orchestral conducting in Bucharest, Romania. And while in Europe, I attended a conference for conductors in the Czech Republic, where I had the opportunity to work with Professor Donald Schleicher, and I was immediately convinced by the effectiveness of his teaching and his musicianship and decided to come to the U of I. Fortunately, in the past couple of years, all of my injuries are, they seem to have vanished, and I'm playing fine again, so... Knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly vouch for that, having worked with you last year.
You're playing
fine indeed. I don't want to completely leave this Project Bandaloop thing just because it's so interesting sounding. Talk a little bit more about that. How do you do music or even do choreography, which is what they were doing? You were doing the music. And then get an audience on the side of a cliff.
Right. Well, the cliff work tends to be in national parks, and therefore one is not allowed to invite an audience. So that work is filmed, and then the films are used creatively in theater productions. For example, at one point they created a 60 by 40 foot white trampoline, assembled it vertically on stage, rappelled on climbing ropes down to where they could bounce off of the trampoline, doing pendulums and flips and all kinds of aerial choreography, while projecting video footage from the mountain work on the white trampoline. In that particular project, I recorded sounds in the natural environment, crossing the Sierra Mountains with the dance company over a 3-week period. I also recorded violin outdoors and later violin in the studio, and combined sounds from the journey with later compositions and developments. And so the video and the music and the dance was all a combination of showing the 3-week experience and turning it into a show that was called Crossing: Stories of Gravity and Transformation. Other work has been a little less complicated. For example, we did the opening of the Mondavi Center for the Performing Arts in California, Davis, California. And for that, I performed from the ledge, from the roof. So I sat on the ledge, leaned out over the side, of course roped in and anchored with a 3-point anchor system. But essentially, when the audience looks up at the building, they see 6 or 8 dancers, and then at the very top, an electric violinist leaning out above them, fiddler on the roof, so to speak.
Or fiddler on the side of the roof, in that case. That would petrify me. Can any chance we can find this on YouTube?
Oh, sure. And you can also go to projectbandaloop.org and see a lot of footage.
Including you as the fiddler on the roof?
I believe so. I have not visited the site recently, but there's a lot of YouTube video, much of it posted by audience members in various performances.
So try Project Bandaloop, BANDALOOP, I believe, just as it sounds. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. We're talking with Zachary Carateen, who is leading the Illinois Baroque Music Institute this week. There's a concert, the culmination of that institute, Sunday evening at 7:30. It will be in Champaign at St. Peter's United Church of Christ. And we're pleased to have Zach on the program today. Coming up in the second portion of today's show, Janet Largent of the Champaign County Fair Talent Show, which is, I believe the application deadline is about a week from now, it will be with us, and also Brittany Johnson, who won that show last year. A fiddle player, she's going to play a couple of tunes as well. We've got some Vivaldi to play since we're talking about the Vivaldi topic on the Baroque Music Institute. What is so imaginative about Vivaldi's concertos?
Well, the set of concertos published in 1711, Harmonic Innovation, really set a new standard for concerto writing. Probably the most popular concertos up until that time were those of Corelli, who was working in Rome in the 1680s, for example. But Vivaldi's concertos were quite different. The solo violinists, or in some cases multiple solo violinists, are really set apart from the orchestra for much longer passages and much more virtuosic, fiery technical playing. And I think they really become the model for the concerto to come. As I said, many times there are multiple soloists, one violin, two violins, three violins, four violins, even a cello soloist, and you'll hear all of those configurations on Sunday. All the soloists are students involved in the program, and of the orchestra, which has 13 musicians, I believe 7 or 8 will be featured as soloists.
That's terrific to give them that opportunity, and so that's more than half the orchestra gets to be a soloist.
Indeed.
And I assume through some evaluation during the week, you pick who those people are. Have you chosen them already?
They've basically, whenever a student applied, I gave them the option. And some chose to play a solo, and others just wanted to be in the band. Even in the band or the orchestra, we will be rotating. I can say we'll be rotating chairs, but we're not sitting. We'll be standing for the concert. And everyone will play in virtually every position. So everyone has a chance to lead and to follow and to be right in the middle, and I think it's really valuable. And even myself, I will be leading sometimes and in the back sometimes. And I will be performing as soloist only in the final concerto in collaboration with violinist Hyun-Jung Choi and cellist DJ Fairfield, both local musicians.
So you can hear that concert on Sunday evening. Again, it's at 7:30, St. Peter's United Church of Christ in Champaign. And Zachary Carotene, director of the Illinois Baroque Music Institute, I'll get that right. The topic of the institute this weekend is the Imaginative Concertos of Antonio Vivaldi. And I'm sure there will be other opportunities to see Zachary in action, either as a player or conductor in this area over the coming year. You finish your program probably next spring, right?
I hope so.
I'm sure you will, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you. And I would like to thank the wonderful people at St. Peter's United Church of Christ, where I serve as music director and choir director. They were so generous to offer us this great venue, and it's a wonderful acoustic.
It is, yes. It's a very nice space. So we're going to go out with one of the Four Seasons concertos, which I believe you said you're going to do on that program. Here are the last couple of movements of the one representing the season we are now in, Why Not?, called Summer, the Four Seasons of Vivaldi. In this case, we hear violinist Fabio Biondi with Europa Galante here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
Music by Antonio Vivaldi. Those were the last two movements of his Summer Violin Concerto, one of the four seasons, which you can hear performed on Sunday evening by the small orchestra of the Illinois Baroque Music Institute, which is focusing on the music of Vivaldi this weekend under the leadership of Zachary Carratine. The concert Sunday night at 7:30 at St. Peter's United Church of Christ in Champaign. That performance by violinist Fabio Biondi and L'Europa Galante here on FM 90.9. The show is live and local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up at 1 o'clock, I'll have a weather forecast for you at 101 News Headlines from NPR. And at 106, Julie Amacher has more classical music for you. My next guests are Janet Largent, who is, I hope I have the title of sorts more or less correct. Are you the director of the talent show?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Of the Champaign County Fair talent show. The deadline for which is coming up next week. And last year's winner, Brittany Johnson, were you the overall winner or the senior division winner, or how was that designated?
I took first in the senior division, but then I also competed at state in the state-level talent contest, and I placed third.
Congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
Both of those. Well, we're going to hear Brittany play in a little bit, along with guitarist Jake McGinty in just a while. Janet Largent, why don't you tell us about the talent show? How long has that been going on, and what do people have to do if they want to participate?
Well, I was told this was the 51st year of the Champaign County Fair. I'm not for sure how far the talent show went back, but I've been involved for 20 years, 7 years as director, the other years as a judge.
So, of the talent show?
Yes, of the talent show.
And what do you do when you're not putting a talent show together?
I am a high school teacher at Mahomet Seymour High School.
And what do you teach?
I teach special ed, but I'm also the coordinator of their alternative school.
And how did you end up getting involved in the county fair?
A fellow teacher was the director when I taught at the junior high at Mahomet, and she asked me if I'd be a judge. I'm a dance major from way back when, so I had a dance background. So,
do you involve dance in any of your teaching at this point?
I don't at this point, no.
Have you thought about it?
Yes. But I don't think my students would really be that interested in it.
Well, I suppose you never know.
Yeah.
So talk about the talent show itself. What kind of talents do you look for? What is it open to?
Anybody can register. We have two groups, junior and senior. Junior group is from 14 and under. Senior is 15 to 21. We will take any kind of talent. We've had magic. We've had dancing of all sorts, either in groups or singles. We've had singing in groups and singles. We've had a contortionist. Last year was our first time for that. We've had pantomimes. We've had some skits. So we will accept anything. We just want Champaign County to see how talented our young people are.
What is the most bizarre talent, in quotes, that has come through?
I think the contortionist from last year was probably, in my experience, the most unique that I've seen.
Are you able to describe that at all?
She had a ring that she crawled through. She tied herself up in knots. Brittany, do you remember what else she did?
She had a tennis racket that she put her whole body through, like her entire body. Yeah, she ate glass.
Yeah, it was just, I think everybody just was astounded as, you know, that she could do all this, but it was unique.
Worried for health, too, a little
bit.
Yeah, I think I would be. She actually ate glass?
She ate glass.
Yeah, she took a light bulb and she crushed it up into a bag, and then she started eating glass, and she was like, don't try this at home, but it was, you should have heard the sound. It sounded like somebody munching on a candy bar.
And did she ever explain actually how she manages to do that? I mean, does she have some special lining in her digestive tract?
She wouldn't tell us her tricks.
I asked her afterwards, because we always talk to all the contestants afterwards, and she wouldn't tell me.
Light bulb glass I asked her is pretty too. Thin, though. It's probably doable.
Yeah, it'll still.
You'll
it'll
probably end up doing it at home.
Well, we're not recommending it. I just want to go on record as saying that it's not something we recommend doing.
That was unique, though.
Yeah. What would be the second most?
Oh,
different,
wow.
Whether they won or not, or even just showed up.
I think our magic act, as the 20 years I've been involved, I've only seen one magic act, and it was Joey Shoemaker, and he happened to be from Bahama, and so I knew him beforehand, but he did a really nice job of that, but that was unique, and we've never had another magic act, so it'd be fun to get some more of that kind of stuff in that was away from the dancing and the singing. So,
does somebody have to apply, and then you decide whether they can actually compete?
No, anybody who, whether there's an application online, or they can call the fair office or myself, anybody within the age limit can apply.
So if you apply, then
you're automatically
in the show, and you've got to do whatever it is.
You better be there.
This is not a gong show sort of thing.
No, it
for
is not.
Those who were around. You two probably don't even know what the gong show is.
I know the gong show.
No, we know the gong show.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's not still around, is it?
I don't think so. Yeah. Probably have an updated version.
There was a small incarnation of it, and then that died quickly.
Yeah, it was
I remember the old one.
Really, but you don't do that.
No.
So if somebody is kind of bad, nobody
gongs them
they off
they still
the
clap
stage.
And cheer and.
Right. So nobody should be discouraged.
Nobody should be discouraged.
If you feel you're talented, try it out. So there is an application online. It's sort of a long. Web address. Is there a short way to get there?
If they would just go Google, I'll plug Google, Champaign County Fair, and if they go to the main page and go under Fair Schedule, and on Monday, July 27th, hit the talent show, that it just comes up from there.
And they can find the application from that.
Or they can call me, and I'll be glad to take them through it.
And what's the number to call you?
217-493-3024.
493-3024 will get you to Janet Largent, who's the director of the Champaign County Fair Talent Show. What's the deadline for applying?
Next Wednesday, July 22nd at 5 o'clock, we will stop taking applications.
Good. So we caught things in time.
Yes.
So people can get their acts together this weekend.
Yes.
And get the application in. Well, we want to hear from last year's senior division winner, Brittany Johnson, who has with her. Now, do you have a violin or a fiddle?
It's both. Well, I go to Illinois State University, and I'm a music ed major. And so this violin plays with me in symphony, and it also plays with me with Jake. So it's both.
So what is it today?
It's a fiddle today.
Today it's a fiddle. And we're going to hear Brittany Johnson playing with Jake McGinty on the guitar. Yep. And why don't you introduce the first tune?
We're going to be playing Blackberry Blossom, which is a traditional old-time fiddle tune.
You are. Well, that was short.
Yeah.
So we've mentioned before in this show, we've had a number of traditional players come in, and I'm always amused by the stick the leg out sign that says, okay, we're going to stop now.
Next one, you can hide that on radio.
Huh? No, because I'm gonna mention it. So next one, you don't have to stick it out so soon. We can go a little longer if you want.
All right.
But that was Brittany Johnson playing the fiddle with Jake McGinty on the guitar. What got you into fiddle playing?
Separate
from violin playing.
I was in the I started when I was in fourth grade over at Prairie School in Urbana. And then when I was 14, I joined the Bodacious String Band, who's run by Robin Kirtan.
Yep.
And I really kind of just fell in love with it from there. And I watched a video of this group Barrage. There's like 6 or 7 violins, and they do backflips and cartwheels and stuff. And it just really kind of inspired me to do it. And Robin has been really wonderful. She was my private teacher all through high school. And so she taught me how to improvise. And I don't know, I just kind of really liked it. Just kind of stuck.
But you haven't done the backflips and stuff like that?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But is it an aspiration?
Yeah.
Seriously?
I would like actually to have a group like Robin did with some of my students that I have at ISU and maybe choreograph some things.
And
maybe
so,
not backflips.
So would the plan be doing backflips while playing the violin?
Maybe not backflips necessarily, but kicks are definitely doable and so are jumps.
Really? While you're playing?
Yes.
So what was the group where you said you saw this going on?
They're called Barrage and they originated in Canada. And they tour around, and they come to ISU every year for Music for All Camp, and I get to see them every year, and I took some of my students, and they really liked it. They're really good.
Yeah, I would think you would have to be. You know, I've often heard that some of the best athletes in a circus are the clowns, mm-hmm. who you wouldn't necessarily think that of. And I would think if you're going to be doing athletic stuff while playing, you'd have to be a pretty strong player.
Yeah, they're all, most of them are actually like classical performance majors. There's one guy that was music ed, but obviously in that world you'd study classical music. So really they're all classically trained musicians, but they go and play rock and jazz and Irish and fiddle music. It's really cool.
So where are you from, Champaign or Urbana?
I'm from Urbana. I graduated from Urbana High School in 07.
And now at ISU, who's your teacher there?
Sarah Gentry.
Sarah Gentry, I heard her play a very long time ago, leading an orchestra over here.
Mm-hmm.
I think she played briefly with the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana.
Yes,
it may have been just one concert. Have you, other than fiddle playing, found any particular styles or types of classical music you're especially fond of?
Well, at school we do mostly classical because I play in the symphony there, and then also I study classical with Sarah there. But I really like blues a lot. Taking her and trying to work out some blues. And that kind of came from Bodacious. We did every single style of music imaginable in Bodacious. So I like all types of music. But yeah, blues and fiddle and classical are probably my top three.
And in the Bodacious string band, for folks who may not be aware of it, is, I think it came before Robin Kirtan started the Community Center for the Arts. And there's somebody's cell phone, which we will...
That's mine.
We will get turned off quickly.
Yeah. Happening.
I knew that was going to happen one day. In fact, no, I'm not wearing mine. I had to double check.
I didn't even think about it. So.
Yeah, I have forgotten before and just lucked out that it didn't ring. Where was I going with that? Robin Kirtan directs the Community Center for the Arts, which is it's still at Lincoln Square, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I know that they're looking for some new space. And that came after the Bodacious String Band, which draws in kids of all ages, and even some adults, I believe, there's been some adults come through that band too, and just covering all styles of music. But it's mostly that music is mostly, if not exclusively, learned by rote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
yeah.
plays, you pick it up, and you learn some improvisational styles and so on.
Yep. She has music, and she also does it by rote, just to kind of get both styles.
In the band,
mm-hmm.
in the Bodacious String Band. And they get to play a lot for, you know, in all different settings. So there's lots of performance as well as the rehearsals.
Yeah, I remember when I was 14 or 15 and I got to play with the Prairie Dogs, who's a, you know, bluegrass band around here. And that was an amazing experience playing with people that had been playing that type of music for such a long time. And to have a lot of us amateurs playing with people like that was really amazing for me. And it's really kind of been pushing me. And that's also why I have such comfortability when I perform because of that group, because I've been performing with them since I was 14. So.
And do you have any kind of group like that you can participate in now?
We just started a bluegrass band at school.
They did, good.
Yeah, we're on Facebook. We're named Tater Patch, if you want to check us out for now. yeah, we have a banjo player who also plays violin in the orchestra with me, mandolin player who also plays violin with me, guitar and bass. So
we had a two-person bluegrass band on the show yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Called Grassroots Revival, and they talked about using bluegrass, using fiddle in bluegrass, but... how common is that?
Using bluegrass?
I mean, bluegrass is pretty common in violin. The fiddle is pretty common in bluegrass, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But it seems some bands just decide not to use it. They commented that, that they thought it sometimes interfered with the vocals, but I suppose that depends if you're doing a vocal or not.
Well, it depends. A lot of the times the banjo player and the fiddle player exchange the melody between each other. So you have to be really, really careful when you have a banjo player and a fiddle player because they're both melody instruments. So a lot of the times I have to sit back and let the banjo player kind of take it, and then we'll trade off like that. But you do have to be really careful, especially when you have vocals, to kind of hang out and play harmony for a little bit.
Of course, if you're in certain styles like Celtic styles and you're doing, you can both do the melody, but you've got to be absolutely in sync with each other, because mm-hmm. you're supposed to sound like one voice. That always amazes me mm-hmm. when we hear that happen. What are your ambitions, Jake? How did you get involved into this old time thing?
Oh, well, I started playing. I actually started with violin, so we met in the orchestra, and then she called me like 3 days before the Fair talent show and asked me to play as an accompanist to her bluegrass solo. And that's about how we started.
But you were already playing guitar at that point, I hope.
Yeah, for about a year. I picked it up. I had been playing violin since I was 5, so I wanted to try a new instrument, and I moved on to guitar. I've been playing that ever since.
And where are you from?
I'm from Urbana, too.
Also from Urbana. Are you also at ISU then?
No, I'm at U of I, actually, in computer science.
In computer science. Yeah. That seems to be a common major for people who are also involved in music.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
And physics.
Yeah,
I discovered one of the best flute players I've ever worked with was a physicist.
Well, because people in science get tired of science and then pick up something completely different.
What do you think about that? I actually had a conversation that won't be on this program yet for probably another month with somebody yesterday, that we sort of touched on quantum physics and spirituality and how that reflects itself in music.
Yeah, well, you have to tie it all together. I mean, I. I'm really, really happy when I meet other CS majors that are musicians, because it's really important to be, you know, so well-rounded, because you have these CS majors that do nothing but science, and then eventually you meet the right people that realize that they have to do more with their life than just one thing.
So the folks like yourself who are doing computer science and music are exercising your full brain.
I'd say that, yeah. Or at least trying to.
Whereas somebody who does one or the other, they're just half brains.
Right? Yeah.
Half brain people. That's a new insult, I guess.
The half brains.
Yeah. never thought of that before.
It's like muggles.
Like what?
Like muggles in Harry Potter.
Like muggles in Harry Potter, which opened last night,
yes,
didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it this
that.
Weekend. Right. Rereading the book right now. Yeah. Well, we have a few minutes left this hour on Live and Local. Our guests today are for this portion of the show, Janet Largent, director of the Champaign County Fair Talent Show, and Brittany Johnson, who won the senior division last year and third place in last year's state contest, and Jake McGinty accompanying her on the guitar. Let's have another tune. What shall it be?
This is called Back Up and Push. It's another short one, but we're going to gradually kick up the speed and make it a little more difficult.
Oh, yeah. Is this a tune of your creation, or did you find this somewhere?
Actually, I kind of stole it from Bodacious.
Fair enough.
And then we decided to pick it up and take it a little bit faster.
It's adapted to meet our specifications.
Yeah, it's adapted.
There you go. Thank you. So, Jake, how hard was that to keep up with?
It's hard. My fingers actually started bleeding when we played it at the at the fair.
Is that so? You did do that one. Was that one of the ones that helped you win the contest last year?
Oh, yeah, we played that one last year. It was the very first song we ever played together.
Yes, it was.
Actually.
Yeah.
And then I wrote
a special place in our hearts.
I took a bunch of fiddle tunes that are in the key of D and made a medley and put it all together and put that for the state contest. Yep.
Well, that's terrific. And so you, since we still have almost a week before applications are closed for the talent show, Janet Largent, do you have any idea at this point what's the range of talent represented?
I've gotten some applications, but I really haven't looked at them because I try not to like get right into it. But my the fair director told me that there was dancing and singing, so that's what we have right now.
Does it tend to be a lot of singing and then a little of everything else?
Yes, mostly. We've had odd years, but mostly singing.
Okay, so if you want to stand out, submit for something else.
Yes, yes.
And you might have a better chance. You
and then
never
we
know.
Find our gems like Brittany and Jake, and amidst those. So.
So the winners last year was technically Brittany, or was it Brittany and Jake?
It was technically Brittany because she's the one that registered.
And she brought Jake along with her.
Our junior winner, Aaron Burrell, who won seventh at state, was a Celtic dancer?
Yeah. She sang and she danced.
A beautiful song and did a very good job, which was very unique also.
So uniqueness probably helps too.
It does.
If you do something different, you're going to stand out, and then if you do it really well,
you're going to really stand out.
You could win.
Yes. Yeah, at the state level, there were, I think, 47 people that were in it, and more than half were all singing. So,
really? So there you go. If you've got a talent and you want to display it at the Champaign County Fair at the talent show on the 27th of July, you need to get your entry in by the 22nd of July, which is next Wednesday. Go to the Champaign County Fair website, and you can just Google that or search for that however you want. I could give you the exact email or web address, but you'll never remember it because it's too long and a little confusing. Or you can call Janet Largent at area 217-493-3024. We appreciate all of you coming on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Sounded great. Sounds like you have a lot of fun playing.
Oh, yeah.
Brittany Johnson on the fiddle and Jake McGinty, the guitarist. Last year's winners at the senior division of the talent show. And are you participating again this year? Are you too old?
Oh, no. You can't. If you win, you can't do it another year. And I wouldn't want to anyway because I want to give someone else another opportunity. But I will be playing at the Illinois State Fair for the fiddle and banjo contest, which is on August 15th.
Excellent. So there you go if you want to hear. And a more extended session.
Yes. That'll have a waltz and a hoedown in it. So.
Oh, good. All right. It's live and local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Have for you a weather forecast in about a half minute. And news headlines a minute after 1, and Julie Almacher's classical show at 1:06.